Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. I saw the show that garnered the most Tony nominations. The story behind it is one of incredible perseverance, not to mention female power. Then there was a much smaller off-Broadway piece. Not only is it written and directed by a woman, but it stars seven talented young actresses, kind of taking on Shakespeare. And finally, there was an even smaller show about war, love, courage, and the art of correspondence, as in picking up a pen, taking time to think, pause, and send. Yes, it takes place a long time ago and is a work of a woman who was remembering her own famous mother in a unique way. But we have to start with a big production. That would be Hadestown, which in fact began as a small one, a CD of folksy, bluesy music about those mythmakers, Persephone, Eurydice, Orpheus, and Hades, the guy from down under, as in the underworld. The composer is Aeneas Mitchell, who would perform the songs at various clubs around the country. Now, someone gave her Hadestown CD to a Los Angeles-based opera singer named Dale Franzen, who was also the artistic director of the Broad Stage. That's a performing arts complex in Santa Monica. She just loved what she heard and reached out to Miss Mitchell to develop it further. Well, over the next 8 years, there were productions off-Broadway in Canada and London, still fine-tuning along the way, not to mention raising some $11 million. But now it is at the Walter Kerr Theater on Broadway, where it will likely stay for a good long while. Dale Franzen is the major force behind this one, but she is surrounded by other women, including co-producer Mara Isaacs, director Rachel Chavkin, nominated for a Tony, scenic designer Rachel Hack, and of course the composer and book writer Aeneas Mitchell. Well, the show lives up to expectations and word of mouth. It reminded me somewhat of Rent in its youthful energy and infectious score. Though two of the stars are veterans, Andre DeShields as narrator Hermes, and Patrick Page as Hades himself. They are both nominated for Tonys and give powerful and frankly seductive performances. The whole cast is filled with talent. The story is familiar to those who know their myths and will likely be praying for a happier ending this time. Hey, you can't really change a myth, but you can find hope and resonance. And there are themes here that ring contemporary. Climate change. Everybody is a fair weather friend, goes one lyric. Inequality. If no one takes too much, there will always be enough, goes another. There is even a whole song about building walls. But mostly Hadestown is about love, how far we will go to find it, keep it, save it. I knew you before we met, and I haven't met you yet. The show is largely sung through, and with words and sentiments like that, well, not much more is needed. Hadestown's competition for Best Original Musical includes Tootsie, The Prom, and Ain't Too Proud, a strong category this Tony season. My hunch is the voters will ultimately celebrate something not based on a movie or a jukebox, but rather on a tale as old as time that somehow manages to feel very new. All right, and then I saw Macbeth. That's two words, the way they use it, M-A-C, and then B-E-T-H. At least the Red Bull Company's production, which is at the, keeping up with our feminist theme here, Lucille Lortel Theater. Adapted and directed by Erica Schmidt, this one, which started in Seattle, features seven young actresses, all terrific, by the way, as schoolgirls putting on their version of Shakespeare's vengeful tragedy. Now, you will catch familiar passages, sleeping no more, fair is foul, foul is fair, this place is too cold for hell. For a minute, I thought I was back in Hadestown. But we are here in the here and now. The mean girls are sharing selfies and occasionally shrieking, awkward. As for all the sexual mashups, well, let's remember that the bard himself always used men to play his women. I confess I had some trouble following Macbeth, and I think it will help if you brush up on your Shakespeare. This piece only runs 90 minutes, and it ends with a large splattering of blood, enough that apparently some front row viewers have complained. There were a few walkouts at the show I attended. Clearly, this is not your mother's Macbeth. I'm not even sure if it is your daughter's. But loyal fans of Red Bull know they are going to get something edgy and different, and they don't and shouldn't expect any less. Next up at 59 East 59 is a lovely 75-minute piece called Posting Letters to the Moon. Now, this one features two performers, or more accurately, readers, Simon Williams and Lucy Fleming, though they do have tons of credits between them. Now, they are Brits, and here they simply read actual letters written during World War II by Peter Fleming, who later became known for his travel books, not to mention a younger brother named Ian, who went on to create a spy named Bond, and his wife, who happened to be stage and movie star Celia Johnson. Lucy Fleming is, in fact, their youngest child. Now, Celia Johnson was a favorite of Noel Coward's and was star of arguably his most famous film, Brief Encounter. "It is terribly thrilling," says Williams to the audience as the show begins, "to celebrate the art of writing letters. More than kisses, they merge our souls." There is a sense of longing in the correspondence, of course, and humor, and a reminder of what it was like in England at that time. We hear familiar words like Dunkirk, D-Day, and get a sense of daily life for those not theoretically in service. Celia writes of the booming and barking of the guns in Hyde Park. And as Peter attests, one never seems to get away from the shadow. Posting Letters to the Moon is a lovely respite that I would recommend. Finally, one more woman to talk about. Well, lady is more like it. It has just been announced that Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady will end its run at Lincoln Center in July. Now, I'm not entirely surprised in that every time I check out the reduced ticket booths, the show has been listed. If you get a chance, I think it is a pretty perfect production, with Laura Bonanti as the ideal Eliza Doolittle. The music is as great as ever, and it even manages to navigate the Me Too questions appropriately. No, Liza doesn't throw those slippers in Henry's face, but you just know she's not going to go fetch them either. One thing that hurt the show, I believe, was its lack of any substantial Tony Awards last year, which brings me back to where we began. The shows that win Tonys, coming up June 9th, by the way, clearly get a big boost. Those that come up empty, well, Jill, it still matters.
Yeah, that is true, and that is the nature of the, I hate to say it, the way the world works, and what we sort of need, in my view, in all of these industries, including yours, is an understanding of the business around it, and why you plump for things, and there is a fascinating, in my view, offshoot that is occurring in the art world, which has to do with artists and activists rejecting money from people or from people who make products of which they don't approve.
Absolutely. Big story this last few weeks, right?
The reason I'm mentioning it is because while idealism is wonderful, and should be considered, there are practical implications to those refusals, unless you've got someone immediately stepping up to replace it.
That's right.
And I, so, you know, for those who say awards are, you know, silly or this or that or what I'm simply inviting an understanding of the whole system that makes, you know, we could go to politics. Do we really need an election that lasts 3 years?
Right. And those candidates, a lot of them are not taking corporate money, they say. But no, you're absolutely right. These shows need all the help they can get. And clearly.
And that's part of it, to get, you know, social media is a wonderful thing. But what it also shows in terms of limitations is, when you are in your own echo chamber, you know, it's fine for the people who you know, who you have friended, and who are interested. But where it is, it falls short when you want to get it out into the bigger world. Something else has to take it out there.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right.
And so,
how hard these shows are to get up. Hadestown, 8 years. You know, since she first heard that, since she got the idea, that's a lot of years.
That is, you know, when we used to talk about dog time, you know,
in, yeah.
Think about what that is in lifetime in getting something up. Think about what would have happened had there been, you know, not, if it hadn't been promoted for Tony Awards.
Well, that's
think exactly of right. What would have happened if there were no nominations. And, right. You know, back to the draw. It's something that needs to be understood, obviously, in context. But this is part of the give and take.
That's right. It's tenacity. It takes somebody's tenacity and passion, like this woman had, Dale Franzen. It also takes synchronicity. I mean, who knew that some woman would send to her? I just think you should hear this CD. I mean, the fact to even listen to it.
Right.
How many times have we all sent something to listen to? We, you know.
Yes, I would say 9.4 out of 10 times it goes elsewhere. It doesn't make it. It doesn't get listened to.
Exactly. So there's that. And let me, again, to end where we ended, when I talked about how important it is to win a Tony. Now, last year's musical winners, The Band's Visit won original, which was a very weak category last year. It had no competition. And Once on This Island won revival, which beat My Fair Lady and Carousel. That was an upset. But I have to say, we're a year later now, and both those shows have closed. Band's Visit had a pretty good year-long run. But, you know, these shows, Carousel closed very soon. That lost, of course. But so these things matter, and yet, you know, there are no guarantee either. In the end, it's still word of mouth, I think, that people get excited about a show. And I have to say, when you see that audience at Hadestown, it has that kind of, I don't want to say cult-like, that's exactly the wrong word, but, you know, it has that feel to it.
It has that certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, the crowd just kind of screams and screams and screams, and I don't know, it's a feel-good. But again, Tootsie could win, The Temptations could win, The Prom could win. I don't know, the New York Times critics, they kind of thought The Prom should win. Who knows? That's a strong year, so somebody's going to lose. Four of them are going to lose. That's all I can say.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.